You ever watch ads on TV? Can't miss them. You know, they're selling a lot of insurance because life is messy. In fact, isn't that one of their taglines? But in between all the lines of ads for insurance, there's a line or by from a lawyer. There are a lot of lawyer ads. You ever notice that? It seems to be, and what they say is something like, well, if the insurance doesn't help you out like they're supposed to, we're here. The Italian word for lawyer is avvocato, advocate. And that's the best understanding of what a lawyer is supposed to be, right? Someone who is an advocate for you, someone who fights for you because you really are in desperate need of help. I thought of that metaphor, that image, as I read the gospel. Jesus is sending an advocate, the Spirit, to be with us. You're not orphaned. I am no longer physically with you, but I will be with you. I will be in you. I will give you my Spirit. And that Spirit will be a unifying reality, an empowering reality, a supporting presence. That first reading is kind of interesting from Acts. If you look at it carefully, it's really a realization that the church is beginning to spread. There's this sense of the apostles are now scattered. And as they're scattered, they're making headways by drawing other people in. And here, Philip is talking to the Samaritans and gathering them in. Those who were out are now in. A realization that in Christ, there is no one who is out. Everyone is in. And so he calls them and he shows them what it means to be a disciple. How care and compassion can embody the presence of God. And as he does this, they're so attracted, they become baptized. The community in Jerusalem hears this and they send the heavy hitters. Okay, they send Peter and John, and we are going to help you understand that when you are in this community, you share the same Spirit. And that Spirit is with you. So here, they celebrate and they give them, and they share that Spirit so that they're one. It's a wonderful idea. And as I was thinking about this, I found myself caught up in the realization that in our lives, we really experience the Spirit so much, and we tend to ignore it. You know, I look back on just my own life, and I say, there's so many times that the Spirit kind of kicks you and tells you, open your eyes, you missed this. Look it. And I'll give you a couple examples. I don't want to get lost in stories, but I'm an old man, and I tell a lot of stories. I tend to repeat them. But I was thinking of this. In fact, I just shared it this morning with someone. When I was in the parish 100 years ago, I put on a play. I put on Godspell as one of the plays. You did that a lot here at Lourdes, every year, for years. So you know the story. Well, when I did it, I was doing it at Immaculate Heart of Mary, and we had no room for anything. So we had to build a stage. We had to bring it in and out of the church. It was Holy Week. And I would sit on the stage with the young people before we began our rehearsal, and I would sit and I would talk to them about what we were going to enact that day, you know, what aspect of the gospel we were going to really reflect on. And I would read it from Scripture, and we would talk a little bit about it. But I was also working with a man who was dying. And I talked to them about him, because he was such a wonderful person. His name was Jack. And I would tell them about Jack, and then I would tell Jack about the kids. And so he ended up helping us to pay for the rights to put on the play. And so one of the kids said, well, is he coming? I said, he can't come. He was a man of about 6'2" and weighed about 100 pounds, if that. So I said he could never sit in these pews for 2.5 hours. And the girl said to me, why can't we bring the play to him? I never thought of that. So we did. We took 2 skits and 2 songs to his house. And we performed for him. The second song was, Oh, Bless the Lord, My Soul. And this girl who made the suggestion sat on his bed and held his hands and sang, Oh, Bless the Lord, My Soul. And he cried, and she cried. And I thought, as I was standing there, I witnessed the Spirit in action in the community. And it was a gift. I don't tell you this story because it's like part of my heritage or my experience. I'm telling it because you've had experiences like that too. Open your eyes and recognize them. And sometimes at the moment, you're shocked by it, but it catches you. And you say, oh, that's what it means to live in the Spirit. It's not only an individual thing, it's a communal reality. Right? It's both and at the same time. It's gift. I'll give you one other one. I was in the parish, and we had a teacher who was, she would make the kids in 8th grade give an 8-minute talk. Okay? This was a big deal for an 8th grader to give an 8-minute talk. And so they really worked on it. Well, this one girl had to give a talk, and she was thinking, because her grandparents were in a parish in northern Wisconsin that was involved with twinning in Haiti, so she gave a talk on what it means for a parish to twin with Haiti. Okay? After the talk, about a week or two after, I got this letter. And it was written by her. I don't know if she had help from her mother or not, but I thought the letter was fantastic. I said, an 8th grader wrote this letter? It looked like a college grad had written it. Okay? It was so well written. And asking us as a parish to consider doing that, twinning with a parish in Haiti. So I took it to the council. Her mother and this girl came to the meeting and they explained everything. The council voted unanimously to do it. What was so important about it is not only that the community then reached out to Haiti, it was that the community was changed and blessed by doing it, both the community in Haiti and the community here were both transformed. And they still do it. They still are twinned to this day. That's got to be 30 years ago. And that's the movement of the Spirit. And as I'm talking, I'm thinking of another story. We had a force of nature working on our staff at St. Mary's. Sister Joseph Marie, wonderful woman. And she would help everybody. Anybody who was in need, she was there. And she met this immigrant family from Africa who was in need. And so the parish kind of adopted them. Well, now this is 2003. One morning, this woman was arrested by ICE and taken to a detention in Kenosha. Well, her son was in our kindergarten. And so when the word came round, with a lot of help from Sister Joseph, that she had been arrested and detained and threatened, with deportation, And by the way, she had gone through all kinds of atrocities. She was here on asylum. It caught on. And all these parents who knew her and knew her son banded together, hired a lawyer, got her freed. And remember when she came home, freed and living as a citizen, accepted in this country. The whole school was gathered in the church and welcomed her and applauded. And I thought, this is the movement of the Spirit. You hear the cry of the needy and you respond with a courage you didn't even think you had. And that made all the difference. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? That's really the movement of the Spirit. We have to be open to that, because when it breaks in, it changes your life. And you're never the same, because now you recognize the need to see other people and their struggles. I was reading about these readings, and I picked up a book by John Shea. And he mentions a theological concept about the Trinity. It's Greek, perichoresis. Fancy word which means dance. It's an image. God is so far beyond us. We need images to kind of approximate our experiences of God. And the point of it is that there is within the Trinity this dance, a dance of love, the Father, Son, and Spirit. And in that dance of love, there's a rhythm to it, a movement of it. And it's a movement of compassion and care. It's sometimes the music is like the pitch that only a dog can hear. Okay? It's outside our realm. But every once in a while, we hear it. And our foot starts to tap. And we realize that we are called into that dance of union with God. And it is the Spirit who invites us in and teaches us how to dance, how to live, how to love. And when we do that, we fulfill the direction from Peter in today's second reading. We embody the explanation to others of the reason for our hope.